DW Africa Link.
It's Wednesday, the 23rd of October, 2019. Hello and welcome to the midweek edition of Africa Link. Coming to you live from our studio here in Bonn, Germany, I am Eddie Micah Jr.
And my name is Isaac Mugabe. Join the discussions of today's stories on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Coming up on the program, Botswana votes in a highly contested election, which is the first real challenge to the country's ruling party. One voter shared his thoughts with us.
It's out of my hands now. I've done my bit, carried the cross. I hope people now will make their own cross on the ballot paper, and with that cross they redeem themselves and save their country from wreck and ruin.
Also coming up, the Russia-Africa summit has kicked off in Sochi. Almost all African leaders are present, but what is the big deal?
This is a plan of investment, a plan of trade and market, the plan of relations with education, scientific innovation.
Well, stay tuned for the details and much more.
Coming up right after the news in brief.
DW News.
I'm Kai Dombach with the DW News. English police found 39 bodies inside a truck early Wednesday. The investigation into the truck is ongoing, but the truck was registered in Bulgaria. The driver has been arrested. Satbir Singh, UK chief executive of the Joint Council for the Welfare of Immigrants, said moments like this require reflection.
If it does transpire that this is related to trafficking, then it's very clear that the absence of clear and safe routes for people to move, and let's remember that people are going to move. And if we block every door and build walls in place of every gate and bridge, then people are going to fall prey to traffickers and this kind of extreme exploitation. I think there needs to be a prolonged bit of soul searching about how we end up in a situation like this.
Botswana faced its tightest election in history on Wednesday as the long peaceful Southern African nation headed to the polls in a general election that could see the ruling Botswana Democratic Party toppled for the first time since independence. The newly formed Botswana Patriotic Front, headed by former President Ian Khama, could lead to the end of the BDP. The first ever Russian-African summit began in Sochi on Wednesday. Russian President Vladimir Putin said he hoped that the summit would bring Russia and Africa closer together.
Our economic links are growing rapidly. However, of course, as I told the business people at the session today, our trade turnover volume is too small, and it is not adequate for Russia or Ethiopia. It goes without saying that we should, and I hope we will, make it greater than it is today.
Putin promised that Russia would stay out of political influence on the African continent. Every African state was represented at the summit. This news comes to you from Deutsche Welle, Germany's international public broadcaster. The European Union lawmakers condemned Turkey's offensive to make a safe zone in northeast Syria. The EU also said that they were preparing for new financial sanctions against Turkey in the wake of the Syrian conflict. The EU decided to end new arms sales with Turkey last week, but the decision did not affect ongoing sales. At least 9 people were killed when cattle rushers attacked a village in eastern South Sudan. The armed attackers wounded 6 other people before stealing 150 cattle, according to a local commissioner. The identity of the attackers was unknown, but officials believe the attack was committed by members of the neighboring Boma state. Former Lebanese Prime Minister Najib Mikati has denied corruption charges brought against him by a state prosecutor. The charges also include Mikati's brother, son, and a local bank for illicit enrichment. There is a lot of corruption in Lebanon, but it is unusual for politicians to face legal challenges. The country has seen several days of anti-corruption protests in the streets. For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Kai Dombach.
And you're listening to Africa Link live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Our Facebook page, DW Africa, is buzzing with comments on the stories we're covering today. So feel free to join the debates going on there. Tutu Desnek, you tuned in. You say you're live from Emirates. Well, welcome to the show. Precious Jer, hello DW. Hello right back at you. Nuhu, Jobless is also tuned in from Sekani Takrade inside Ghana.
Thanks indeed, Eddie. I knew you wouldn't end that without mentioning home. Anyway, we start off in Botswana, where for the first time elections were held and are expected to produce very close results. Locals there voted for a new president, members of parliament and councillors.
Now, it's been generally peaceful, but you're right, Isaac. It is hotly contested election between the ruling Botswana Democratic Party and the opposition coalition Umbrella for Democratic Change. From Gaborone in Botswana, our correspondent Thuso Kumalo has more.
Most polling stations opened as early as 6:30 in the morning. Queues were long in some stations, with some people sitting on camp chairs, which they had brought in anticipation of a long wait. The ruling PDP and the main opposition UCD are the main contenders of the poll. The UDC entered the election having been joined by another strong opposition party, the Botswana Congress Party, BCP. In the run-up to the election, UDC President Dumaboko had complained of harassment by state security agents, suspicion of abnormalities in the voters' roll, and their lack of faith in the SADC observer mission. This is what he said after casting his vote at Massa Primary School in the capital, Gaborone.
It's out of my hands now. I've done my bit, carried the cross. I hope people now will make their own cross on the ballot paper, and with that cross they redeem themselves and save their country from wreck and ruin.
Incumbent president and leader of the BDP, Mukhwesi Masisi, admitted it was a close call.
Sure, it's the toughest election we've had to fight. But, you know, I enjoy a test. I enjoy a challenge. I love campaigning. It's a pity. I'm a little sad because it's come to an end today. We're voting, you know. I wish it could go on a little longer.
His party went into the election weaker after former President Ian Khama and other party supporters defected to a new party, the Botswana Patriotic Front. Voters who patiently stood in long queues were also very clear of what they voted for. Wanda Toms did not hide that he voted for the opposition party, the UDC.
I feel so excited, but I feel that things are going to change. So I'm very happy because it's my first time to vote, and my vote, I think, is going to make a change.
On the other side, Matha Mauritius was not shy about her intention to keep President Masisi in power.
Who wouldn't love someone who strives for unity, who strives for respect? Because we are also teaching the younger generations in having a very admirable behavior as well.
Although Botswana has a stable economy compared to other countries in Southern Africa, whoever wins this election is expected to urgently deal with the growing inequality, unemployment, and poverty.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting from Gaborone.
Looks like we're going on together with that one. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're waiting for the results. The thing is, it's going to end 7 p.m.
Exactly, yeah.
So we'll get to know later how tight indeed the election was.
Exactly. Now, on to another story that is making headlines worldwide is that British police found the bodies of 39 people inside a truck at an industrial estate near London. Today, the truck is believed to have come from Bulgaria, and police say they have arrested the truck driver on suspicion of murder.
Yes, they have. And the driver of the truck is a 25-year-old man from Northern Ireland. Police have sealed off the surrounding area as they carry out further investigation. DW's Florian Neuhoff has more.
When police forced open its doors in the early hours of Wednesday, they made a gruesome discovery. The lifeless bodies of 39 people, believed to have made their way to the UK from Bulgaria. Police say they arrived too late to help those inside.
Emergency services attended, but sadly all 39 people inside the container had died. Early indications suggest that one of these people was a teenager, the rest are believed to be adults. A murder investigation was launched and the lorry driver, a 25-year-old man from Northern Ireland, was arrested on suspicion of murder and remains in police custody.
Prime Minister. Dr.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson expressed his condolences in Parliament.
The whole House will be shocked by the appalling news that 39 bodies have been discovered in a lorry container in Essex. This is an unimaginable tragedy and truly heartbreaking. I know that the thoughts and prayers of all members are with those who lost their lives and their loved ones.
The truck entered Britain via Ireland on Saturday. Police are now trying to piece together how the journey ended in tragedy.
DW's Florian Neuhoff with that report.
Now, to also another interesting story, Eddie, that has sent tongues wagging. It's about the new Russia-Africa found love. It's a new love that we hope will blossom into a marriage that can stand. Anyway, all eyes are on Russia as the country hosts the first ever Russia-Africa summit in Sochi. Thousands of African leaders, including 43 heads of state and government, are there to discuss business, politics and deals.
They're all there, Isaac. All of them. Now, Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, has promised further African cooperation without political or other interference. In his opening remarks, Putin said joint projects are underway in extractive industries, agriculture, healthcare and education. I earlier spoke to Professor Zenebe Tafese in Sochi. He's the president of the Union of African Diaspora in Russia. I first asked him about the latest in the ongoing summit.
They will be starting a new area, a new program, the relation of Russia and Africa. This is the plan of investment, the plan of trade and market, the plan of relation for education, scientific innovation, and the many, many programs they planning, they discussing today, many specialists from Africa and from Russia. And the neighbor countries, Russia and Kazakhstan, Armenia, Belarus, etc.
There are different discussions that are going on in the summit, which ends tomorrow. What is high on the agenda?
The high agenda is that the investment of to Africa, Russian investment of to Africa. The main agenda, this investment that is Russia is will be or already investing to Egypt. That program is Technopark, she's building Technopark in Egypt. That Technopark program is helping all African, not only technically, is agriculturally and energetic and infrastructure program.
What is expected at the end of the summit on Wednesday?
I think the resolution, nothing more than resolution. The economic relation is starting, new era is starting. That's political revolution, I think.
How important is Russia-Africa relations to Africans?
That is a good question. We must remember the relations of Soviet Union and the African relation. It was a big. The Russians, they have their technological, you know. They have their educational system. I think this one, hey, the Africa, is they have the money production, what Russian can buy. That's the market interest. I think this all relation is respectively more needing for Africa.
We apologize for the poor sound quality, but I was speaking to Professor Zeneb Tafese, President of African Diaspora in Russia.
And we have a barrage of comments on this particular story. We asked on our Facebook page, what's your opinion about Russia's renewed interest in Africa? Let's delve in very quickly, Eddie, because I mean, I'm looking forward to these comments. Sophie Mbogwa says, Russia has a strategy, which is a market for its nuclear energy technology. Question is, what is Africa's strategy with Russia? Good question.
That's a billion-dollar question. Lanju Jaro says, we'll know their intentions with time. What we know for sure now is that nothing goes for nothing.
Our Kizito says these countries are like wolves. They hunt in packs once the prey is caught. Each person fights to bite as much as their stomachs can carry.
Well,
that's cryptic.
Well, Nolan Kavwe says, Russia, Africa, in my view, they've taken this step to show the Western world that it is not only from their side, but Africa can get help from other places.
Well, away from skepticism, Sydney Obi-Wan Netei says, it's good news. Now Africa has different options to choose from, not only the Western countries and China.
Many mixed reactions there, Isaac, but the billion-dollar question would always be, what kind of deals are these countries going to strike with Russia?
Mm-hmm. This is a story that we are covering extensively. And by the way, if you want more details, just go to our page, dw.com/Africa. We are still covering it extensively, even in tomorrow's show.
Definitely.
And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to DW's African program coming to you live from a studio in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Don't miss the ongoing discussion on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Tutu Desnek, I mentioned your name earlier, but you just said greetings to Isaac, which I've already complained to Isaac about. I don't understand why just Isaac and not me, but we'll see.
Well, Eddie, greetings to you from the live in the studios. And before we tell what's coming up in the next 15 minutes, some breaking news coming in right now is that the United States has cancelled $190 million in grants to Ghana under the Power Africa Initiative in response to Ghanaian government's termination of a contract with the private utility provider. That's according to the U.S. Embassy.
Yeah, that case has been, you know, going back and forth for a while. It's not surprising there's this breaking news, but I think there's definitely more to that. But we'll get to that in detail, hopefully, in tomorrow's edition. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, we'll be hearing the trials and tribulations of a migrant who was rescued at sea as he tried to cross the Mediterranean, only to end up in the wrong hands.
Libya is the most terrible country I've seen since I was born. They use we black for slaves. They sell human beings. They have sold me twice.
Well, that story is coming up. And if you love penguins, then stay tuned till the end of the show because we have some great news for you.
But first, let's go to Ethiopia. It has come a long way in a short time. There's new peace deal with Eritrea. And a new prime minister determined to bring accountability for the human rights abuses of the past.
Well, that new prize minister is Nobel Peace Prize winner Ahmed Abiy. But the abuses that put former Ethiopian Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn in the spotlight have kind of overshadowed his new legacy. But he has also defended his record in office. Well, in an exclusive interview with DW's Conflict Zone's Tim Sebastian, Desalegn defended himself. Let's listen to this short interview between the two, spiring it out.
Ethiopia has a new prime minister now, Abiy Ahmed, who took over after you resigned last year. He's now received a Nobel Peace Prize, basically for undoing many of the evils of your government and doing what you couldn't do within 100 days. Don't you feel something of a failure when you look at what he's done?
Not at all, because I have done my share to bring this change to happen. And Prime Minister Abiy has not come from a blue moon. It has come from the party which I was residing.
Yeah, but he's begun correcting the massive human rights abuses which were a prominent feature of your time
in
office.
Actually, my party which started the reform process. And we said the process should be a deep renewal to the country, basically, but also to the party itself. So I think that is a process which yielded Prime Minister Abiy as Prime Minister. So he continued with the reform agenda that my party and his party.
Well, the Nobel Committee cited his achievements as lifting the country's state of emergency, granting amnesty to thousands of political prisoners. For years, you always denied there were any. Scrapping media censorship, legalizing outlawed opposition groups, dismissing military and civilian leaders suspected of corruption. All the things that you failed to do when you were in office.
By the way, do you know that 95% of the prisoners have been released during my office time? Before I left office and before I resigned. So I think what Abiy did was the remaining 5%, which has to be released. So the decision was a decision of the party, and I took that action before I resigned.
How many did you release?
More than 3,000 or so.
Yeah, well, there were many more than 3,000 in jail.
Yeah, but it's only young people who recently been arrested, been released. But the main political figures which has been arrested, been released during my term before I resigned.
In May this year, the Attorney General filed criminal charges against your former intelligence chief, Getachew Assefa, alleging human rights abuses and corruption. He's gone missing now. Do you know where he went?
I don't know. I am not in office now. I have no information.
20 other people were charged with him. He had served until June 2018. He had served you as Prime Minister, who were denying that any human rights abuses were being committed.
I think you lack information. You lack evidence. It is my government and my party who admitted that there has been a human rights abuse.
You never admitted. You sat year after year in interviews saying nobody's being mistreated. We have no political prisoners.
You have to understand the way how our party operates. That in the first place, this is a party far left. And you know, as in a Deutsche Welle, when there is a communist mentality and when there is a Marxist mentality, there is a centralism where you don't utter a word after your party decides on issues, even though you have differences in as a minority.
That was a former Ethiopian Prime Minister, Haile Mariam Desalegn. You can watch the full interview on DW News Today at 19 hours and 30 minutes UTC or online, that is dw.com/conflict zone. There will also be a YouTube version.
Definitely, people should go check it out.
On the spot.
Now, imagine the desperation of African refugees in Libya who are so desperate that some are paying bribes to get into detention centers. That is in the hope they will eventually be resettled out of the country, often described now as virtually without any laws and beset by war.
But it seems almost no country is willing to take even a small percentage of the refugees who feel the anguish of displacement in such a territory. In this report by Thomas Marx, we will hear the special envoy of the UNHCR in Mediterranean, Vincent Cochetel, describing the situation and a refugee who was rescued at sea only to be sold as a slave.
It is one of the most hostile countries on earth at the moment, with forces fighting for a UN-backed Libyan government against a militia that's already taken control of most of the east of the country. And caught in the middle, refugees inside and outside a number of detention centers. The centers may be crowded, not altogether safe because of the military engagements and frequent shelling, but there is a sense that something good may happen someday. Outside these detention centers, kidnappers lurk, extortionists, human traffickers.
You have two categories of people. You have people who have been intercepted when they try to leave Libya by sea on boats, and they have been brought back to detention center. And you have desperate individuals who go to detention center. Sometimes they pay to get inside detention center. So some of them prefer to be detained.
Libya is the most terrible country I've seen since I was born. They use we black for slaves. They sell human beings. They have sold me twice.
There is desperation to get out of Libya, even by way of the dangerous route crossing the Mediterranean. But that often leads anyway to being sent right back to one of 19 official detention centers where thousands wait for other countries to open their doors. The UN needs massive help to resettle the refugees, but also to help the African countries from where they come.
If we were able to meet their needs, mainly in the area of education, vocational training, job placement in those countries, those people, many of those refugees would not feel the urge to go to Libya and to try to seek a better future by going through Libya.
The path through Libya at present is difficult at best, deadly at worst.
Thomas Marx.
Yeah, I think, Eddie, you heard the despair in the refugee's voice, you know, who says he was sold twice, and the complexity that are involved in the European Union policy with migration.
Isaac, to me, the bigger question even is, most countries we understand, even though there was an earlier arrangement that they take in a certain number of refugees, most countries are not doing that. Is there a punishment for that? What happens? Or can any country just say, no, I changed my mind? And that's the challenge now, isn't
it? That's the challenge. And of course, there's been a political will on many sides, including the countries that in Europe that promised, you know, to take in the migrants who are crossing Mediterranean. Now, there's something that, you know, is really disturbing to many people who have followed this development in Brussels. They say once the refugees or migrants are in the middle of the sea and are rescued, they should call a hotline, and then wait for an answer.
Who should call?
The rescue boat before it lands anywhere in Lampedusa or Malta or any other country. Now, Eddie, you and I have had bad experience with these hotlines. You can call if you're attacked. Many people are making jokes about hotlines. Say if the armed robber has a SMG, press 3. If, you know, he has a pistol, press 1. You know those hotlines that you have to wait forever. Anyway, oh, tell us what you think about the stories that you're covering by going to our usual Facebook page, DW Africa. It's your platform.
Living Planet Africa.
Now, let's talk about the planet. Africa's penguins are in a downward spiral. 100 years ago, it's though there were more than 2 million penguins living along the southern coastline of Namibia and South Africa.
Now, our correspondent Adrian Kriesh visited an organization in Cape Town that is trying to put a stop to the downward spiral of the penguin population and prevent the seabird from becoming extinct.
One last chance to relax together before things start to get uncomfortable. An appointment with Dr. David Roberts is not something these penguins seem to be looking forward to.
So at the moment what we're doing is we're just checking the penguins and making sure that they're all ready for release. So each one has his own penguin card. This is his medical record. This one, he had an oil spill, so he was 70% oiled and he was emaciated. He was really underweight.
The conservationists take in seabirds in peril and try to prepare them to be released back into the wild. Thousands of injured animals come here every year. Some will stay here forever, as they would not survive in their natural habitat. But these birds might not be here in the long term, as Dr. David Roberts further explains.
They are in danger of extinction. It's quite possible the penguin can go extinct in the future. And we've had dramatic declines in penguin numbers. Even between the counts from last year and this year, the numbers have dropped by about 2,000 breeding pairs. So we have less than 20,000 breeding pairs. That's scarily low.
These penguins first have to spend time in a small box, but only briefly, until they have fully recovered and are ready to return to the wilderness. In Simon's Town, one of the remaining pigeon colonies, they are released.
It went really well. It was really nice to be able to see them go out so quickly. They didn't get confused. The crowd was very polite and not too noisy, so that didn't scare the penguins, and they went straight out in the direction they should have gone. And really, we can't see them. I think there's one head sticking out over there. So now the threats that they face are the same as all the other wild penguins. People need to think about the impacts of what they're doing and how that can affect not only the penguins, but all other sea life and other wildlife that is in danger from human interaction.
Still, the message seems to have got through to the hundreds of people in the crowd.
Over here we have a lot of organizations who are trying to save the oceans and the animals in there. And obviously the penguins were being rehabilitated and then put back in, but there's a lot more we can do.
Yes, we must do more to protect them, because you see what is happening at sea. The sea is no longer clean as it used to be. There's plastic problem.
In the worst case scenario, the last African pigeon colony will die out in 20 or 30 years. But people here definitely want to prevent that from happening.
That was a report by Adrian Krish.
Now, we can't end this show with the remaining time without talking about sports. Why not, Eddie?
Why not?
Yes, yesterday it was a fiesta of goals. Man City thrashing Atlanta 5-0. There was a hat-trick there.
And from Sterling, no?
Yes, Raheem Sterling. And of course, Paris Saint-Germain also doing the same to Club Brugge of Belgium. Also a hat-trick there from the one and only
Kylian Mbappe.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the biggest match, I mean, Liverpool are playing. Mohamed Salah is returning to the fold. It's going to be against Genk, an away game for Liverpool. But the biggest, you'd say, is between Inter Milan and Borussia Dortmund.
That's according to you. Okay, go
what
ahead.
Do you think?
Tell me where your money is.
My money on this game. I love the fact that Lukaku has found his sort of scoring boots in Inter Milan. So I'll sort of go for Inter at home, hoping that they win against Borussia. I know a lot of Germans listening now, Dortmund fans, are like, what are you saying?
Exactly, and even Bayern Munich. I think you've been a fan of Bayern Munich sometime, you know. And the game with Olympiacos, to me, even it was a fluke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It ended 3-2, but... Well, the video assistant referee is doing wonders, I can say.
Yeah, that's causing a lot of trouble in the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Anyway, if you're a sports lover, you can also tell us what you think about today's games. As usual, you know, even we do the Bundesliga over the weekend. With that, we come to the end of the show. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
I am Eddie Mike Jr. Bye for now.
DW. Made for mind.